The following podcast is brought to you by Monumental Energy. Enjoy. This is the Commodity Culture Podcast, where we interview prominent investors, fund managers, analysts, and company CEOs to give you an edge when it comes to investing in the commodity space. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Commodity Culture, where our goal is to make you a better investor in the commodity space. My name is Jesse Day. Before we dive in, standard disclaimer, nothing here is investment advice. Do your own due diligence. And today's guest is the founder and director of Monumental Energy, a junior energy company focused on exploring lithium brine salars in Chile and investing in near-term gas production assets in New Zealand. It's Max Sally. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me. And again, if anyone wants to call me and discuss this investment, I'm happy to take calls after the interview.
Excellent. Well, I am very fascinated by the natural gas market personally, so I would like to start there by asking the question, do you think that natural gas has been unfairly thrown to the side in this whole energy transition discussion as governments seem to be honing in on solar and wind and kind of demonizing hydrocarbons when natural gas is actually one of the cleanest and most efficient energy sources available?
You know, I think a lot of people talk about new sources of energy, whether it's lithium, whether it's solar, whether it's wind. But the fact is, most people, me living in Canada, we use natural gas. I use it in my gas stove. I use it for the fireplace. And so it's there. It's here to stay. It's not going anywhere anytime soon. Obviously, there's new sources of energy coming online, but it's just so abundant. And specifically in the market we have invested in New Zealand, all gas is sold directly to market. The New Zealand market, they're paying about $11 plus Canadian per MCF, where in Canada we're paying three, around that, maybe a bit less. So you're getting a huge, huge premium, and it's just a massive cash generator for the company we invested in.
Fascinating. I do want to dive more deeper specifically into Monumental Energy a little later. But first, I was wondering if you could shed some light on the current supply-demand dynamics for natural gas, because it's a very unique market in that it has different prices in different areas. As you mentioned, in New Zealand, it's much more expensive than in Canada. The Asian market has a price. The European market has a price. It's very cheap right now in America, you know, because a lot of the LNG exports aren't happening as they were expected to be. So that's leading to a bit of a glut of natural gas in that country, leading to lower prices. So could you describe the supply-demand fundamentals?
Honestly, it really depends on the market you're in. You know, if you're in South America, places like Colombia, you're probably paying $8, $9 Canadian equivalent for natural gas. New Zealand, it's above 11, because if you look at where New Zealand is, it's in the middle of nowhere. You really can't ship it. You can't export it. You can't import it. And so all the gas that's onshore that gets produced, there's a facility and it gets sent right to a gas producer and that goes directly to market. And so you got to look at your specific market. If someone came along to me and showed me a Canadian natural gas deal, you're probably not too interested. But when you look at the value proposition and you look at the cash cow that this company will be, it made sense for us to do this investment. You know, Monumental Energy, obviously we're clean energy, green and clean. Lithium. And, you know, like you said, natural gas is some of the cleanest energy in the world, and it's a very profitable business in New Zealand.
And is there anything we haven't touched on so far regarding the natural gas market? Any key points you think investors need to understand about it? Both maybe specifically dealing with your operation in New Zealand and globally as well, if you have any insight there.
You know what? On the global scenario, I don't have a lot. In the New Zealand scenario, I know that they're always going to need it. This company is permitted to drill more gas wells. When this gas well that they are drilling does run out, they will become a gas storage facility. And in New Zealand, there's a lot of demand for this, where based on the significant price, if prices do lower, they can store gas at the facility New Zealand Energy has. And when the gas is more expensive, then they can then ship that gas. So the New Zealand market is a very specific market. It generates a lot of revenue, and anything that comes out of the ground goes right to the local communities.
Let's switch to lithium now, and I'd like to get your thoughts on the current setup for that commodity, because global lithium prices are down 80% over the last year after a tremendous run-up. Is this potentially presenting an opportunity as an entry point as an investor?
I've been buying and following lithium stocks since 2012. Obviously, back in 2014, a number of public juniors came back in the space. In 2017, you sold a couple of 2018, a couple of sales, starting with Lithium X, when the price of lithium was where it is now. I think people forget that when you're dealing with a brine, and you look at all these PEAs, they're substantially lower than hard rock. And so if you look at a PEA for brine that's 3,000 to 4,000 a ton to produce, and you're selling it in current markets at 20,000, that's very profitable. There's been a lot of junior takeouts while the price is low. Obviously, during COVID, supply chain issues, you know, the price ran. It probably ran too high. Everyone jumped into the space, all of these closeology plays in Quebec and such, in Nevada, and those stocks have come significantly off, including ours, for different reasons. You know, Arcelor is in Chile. Have had obviously slight community issues, not slight, I would say bigger than we expected, but we're getting very close on those issues. We have had a management change to be able to deal with that. We have a new lady in Chile who is very, very knowledgeable, works with the communities, knows them. And so I think getting a community deal done very shortly is possible. And that opens up these amazing solars with the grades. You know, we're seeing grades of over 1200 milligrams on our bigger solar, of almost 600 on our smaller solar. But the opportunity, I think, to get lithium space, I've done this multiple times where you see stocks go up and down, and it's a massive opportunity. You know, I think it's a better opportunity in the brines. A lot of these hard rock plays that were overpromoted will never come back. Either they have no capital, they can't raise capital, or people forget when you're doing hard rock mining, you lose a lot of that grade in the mining process. Where with the brine, you don't. And so I think it's a great time to buy. If I had less knowledge of what we're doing, I would still be buying. If you look at my insider filings, all I do is buy. But there's a lot happening. There's a lot you're going to see soon. And I think this opportunity to be in Chile is substantial.
Cesium is a metal that I must admit I knew nothing about before doing research for this interview. So for those unfamiliar, what is cesium? How is it used? And what is the investment thesis for that commodity?
Cesium is a very interesting. It's obviously a critical metal. It's produced in one mine in the world. It's in Manitoba, the Tanco mine, owned by the Chinese. It's private. But cesium is so expensive that oil and gas companies actually rent it. And what it does is it's used as like a natural lubricant for deep gas, deep oil and gas drilling in onshore, offshore. And they'll actually rent the commodity, recover as much as they can, and send it back. And so being Monumental Energy, we happen to stumble upon Laguna Blanca, our solar in Chile, which has cesium in the sediment, and then lithium in the brines. And so you have two very expensive commodities. Obviously, cesium is a smaller market, so it's much more expensive. But being an energy company, if we're able to sell cesium to other energy companies, in South America, that would be a huge opportunity for us. And so once we get everything going and we do begin drilling, there will be a lot of work on the cesium as well. And again, it's such a tightly held commodity that it's very interesting. Most people on this interview would never heard of it. I didn't hear about it two years ago. But it's a massive potential for us too, on top of the lithium, to produce some cesium.
Cesium.
And there is a ton of demand for it.
Yeah, that shows how little I know about it. I couldn't even pronounce the name of this mineral correctly.
There's different ways to pronounce it. I'm assuming you're correct too. So
okay, interesting. Let's pivot to discussing Monumental Energy specifically further. Could you start by giving us, we've discussed it a little bit already, but maybe give us an overview of your whole package and what you've got planned here coming up?
Yeah, so Monumental Energy was originally Monumental Minerals. We had other assets. We did a management change late last year. We did a kind of a change in our assets or additions to. You know, I really think that lithium it's done very well for a lot of people. Obviously, lately, it's probably not done well for a lot of people in their investments, but it's something that is obviously needed. The solars are truly amazing assets to have with the grade. And so on top of the solars, what complements it is the natural gas investment. So being a tier two company, we actually couldn't invest into New Zealand Energy Corp. We had to get a waiver from the exchange. We did. And so we are their second largest shareholder. We're also working on a number of other transactions with them that, you know, may or may not come to fruition. We're hoping they do. But what's going to happen is New Zealand Energy Corp will become a dividend focused company. If you look at their market cap, it's small. There's only 8.2 million shares out with all the investment to date. They will be doing another financing. Even after that, they'll be under 15 million shares for a company that could do in the next 12 months, 40 million Canadian in revenue, about 50 million New Zealand, and about 24 million pounds to whoever's in what country listening to this. But to have a company that's sub $10 million market cap have that kind of revenue is unbelievable. And they've done it before. New Zealand Energy Corp is not a new company. They were formed in 2010. They were a big producer of oil and gas in New Zealand at the time. You can look at their old press releases, the revenue. And so when this opportunity came to me 12 years later, 13 years later, here we are now. And I look at the value proposition. I mean, you look at, you know, what do you do when you have cash in the bank and lithium is taking longer, the prices come off? What do your shareholders want? Well, for me, if I can invest in a company that owns infrastructure, that's permitted to produce, that will generate revenue, and then take that revenue and pay back some to Monumental Energy, that means I got to go back to the market for less money or no money, depending on the dividends, or if we're able to do a deal with them to have a bit of our own production, and use that to finance the undervalued lithium play. And I think that is a great proposal. If you look at our stock chart from mid-January, it had a big run, almost 100%. We got a bunch of new supporters, and I love doing these interviews and being able to share the story with people like yourself. And I think that anyone that does enjoy lithium and wants to see a cashed up vehicle like ourselves with good share structure, good management ownership, that's Monumental Energy. And I'm the biggest supporter of my own stock. I'm the largest shareholder. And I know where most of the stock is. And honestly, you know, if I'm writing checks in someone else's deals and the CEO doesn't own shares, I'm not writing a check, right? You got to practice what you preach. And if this doesn't work, it falls down on me. But not only that, is if this stock doesn't make money, I don't make money. So that's my drive to make this work for everybody involved.
Yeah, I think that's the first item on the checklist for a lot of prudent investors is how much skin is in the game. And as the largest shareholder, that is certainly ticks that box very nicely. Could you provide some more details on your lithium portfolio and activities in the lithium triangle of Chile? You also mentioned you were facing some challenges there. Maybe you could shed some more light on how you're resolving those.
Yeah, so we have two Salars. We have an option to earn 75% of our main Salar, Laguna Blanca, from a company, Lithium Chile. They're one of the largest holders of land in Chile. Their COO, I brought on as our new COO, CEO recently. She's fantastic. We have new management in Chile helping us get through community issues to be able to drill. Essentially, how it works in Chile is once the community's on side, which should be very shortly, you just submit your package to the government with the drill targets, the drillers. You don't need permits for lithium. You just go and drill. So everything's been ready to go for quite some time. It's just a matter of dealing with ESG and a couple things. But this Salar at over 1,200 milligrams from surface is substantial. We did some auger holes about a year and a half ago, and this came about a week after snow and rain. And from a meter down, we were still hitting after, you know, everything's been diluted down, we're still hitting over 400 milligrams per liter. And so usually when you're drilling with these grades down, we're going to almost 500 meters per hole, you could see that or greater. And so Salar de Atacama, which is the closest producing Salar to us, owned by SQM and Albemarle, they're about 1,400 milligrams they're producing. So super high grade. We have road access to almost right up to the Salar. Then there's a slight off-road track, very easily accessible. And everyone resides in the town of San Pedro, which is a beautiful tourist town, on Salar at the Atacama. Our secondary Salar, Salar de Turi, it's a bit of a bigger portfolio, and the grades are a little bit lower, but it's a beautiful Salar. There's a number of things that we're doing right now that I can't discuss. I would say that over the next few weeks, investors will see where we're headed and in what direction with the Salars.
And in terms of the New Zealand gas production, it all sounds great because it's self-contained. You're able to produce gas and sell it directly to the New Zealand market. I wonder if you could shed some light on operating in New Zealand as a jurisdiction, because it's not one that's brought up very often in terms of your relationship with the local government, the community. How easy or difficult is it to operate in New Zealand? And also in terms of exposure to the gas price in New Zealand, it's obviously at a very robust, you were saying over $11 right now. If that price were to drop, could you still be profitable in New Zealand?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. In terms of working in New Zealand, there's zero issues. It took years to get all these permits for this land package. This was done 15, 20 years ago. So that's all permitted. There will be no new players coming to market. So anyone who has land packages now permitted, you're grandfathered in. Bringing a new person into the industry will be very tough, which is good for us because we're there with all the permits. I mean, the model to production is very easy. These wells don't cost a lot of money. They bring on a lot of production, whether it's oil or gas. You know, everything's right to market. They own the facility. The facility is good infrastructure. It's everything's up to date. Honestly, it's such a good investment. If anyone goes on our website, they can find the New Zealand Energy Corp deck or on the New Zealand Energy Corp website and just take a look themselves. And I think they'd be pretty shocked with the revenue. I mean, the cost of production is extremely low. I know at least for the oil on the oil side is you're producing it around $7-$8 a barrel Canadian and you're getting Brent crude prices of 81. So if you use the BOE equivalent for natural gas, I mean, the numbers are absolutely phenomenal. I mean, you know, in Canada, we produce gas and we're selling it at what, 250 Canadian, and it's profitable. So this is obviously more. And again, very easy to work with everyone. Unlike Chile, where you do have some community issues, at least for New Zealand Energy, they don't have any. And it's a stable jurisdiction. They have a good currency. And I'm just blessed that this opportunity came back to me 12 years later.
And are you involved in oil production in New Zealand as well, exploration or production? And if not, is that something you might be moving towards in the future?
I think it's something I would like to move towards. New Zealand Energy Corp has a portfolio of oil wells that he'd workovers on, have to spend some money on to get some production back, which also gets sold right to market. In a perfect world, I would love to be able to work with them, Monumental, to be able to farm in on some of those assets. And then bring a little production to me or the company. And so that would be something I'd like. You know, I mean, as an investor that started off investing in oil and gas in 2009, I saw the you know, if you look at the two companies in New Zealand, New Zealand Energy went from 25 cents to $4. Tag Oil went from 10 cents to $11 in New Zealand. The revenues were just insane. The ratios when they were hitting on these wells were huge. Very little of the shallow wells had no success. Most of them had big success. Some of the deeper stuff, obviously, they ran into issues. But these shallow wells, they come on at 1,000 barrels plus a day. They do come off quickly. So your payback is quick. Obviously, you do have to keep drilling them. But it's a big revenue model. And if you look at the old press releases for either of these companies, you'll see just the huge cash cow that they were.
Yes, and I think we are on the precipice of a bull market in the oil and gas industry. Who knows when it will really get kicked off, but I think within the next, you know, 5 years to a decade, it's going to be, prices are going to go up and to the right over time. I wonder if you could shed some light on plans for the company here in 2024 and beyond. Anything notable that you think investors should have their eyes on?
Well, the plan for the last 2 years for the company has been drilling the Salars. So that is still the plan. I think we're a lot closer than we've ever been. I think over the next 6 weeks, you're going to see a number of press releases related to Chile and New Zealand that benefit Monumental, and that obviously would benefit all of our shareholders. Once those press releases come out, I can start buying stock again. But yeah, you know what? I think now is the time to be buying some of these Salars, especially because of the lithium price. I think they're only going up in value. And if you look at the takeover prices for some of these assets, hundreds of millions of dollars, and you look at where my market cap is, it makes sense. We have cash. I'm not going to have to call anyone this year to raise any money. I could bring in more money from the dividend from New Zealand. So I'm in a good place. The company's in a good place. Our shareholders seem fairly happy. And again, if anyone wants to give me a call and discuss this investment or the company, I'm happy to chat at any time.
Great. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Max. I will put the number in the description to call you if that works for you, as well as, of course, a link to Monumental Energy's website and social media profile for people who want to check that out. Before I do let you go, do you have any final words you'd like to leave us with on the company?
Yeah, I think lithium is going to have another run again. And once I start drilling these Salars, I think people are going to be in for a big surprise. You know, I know that there's been a lot of news in the lithium brine space lately where stocks haven't really moved on really good news. But I think with Chile specifically changing how the government views the Salars, what they need, you know, Chile's been very tough to work in for Salars. They're having new mining laws on them, but they need the production. They need the revenue. Chile's got the highest grade Salars and the biggest number of Salars in the world. And I look forward to being able to be one of the companies, the juniors in Chile to be able to, you know, get a first mover in the space.
Great. Well, thank you once again, Max. It's been a blast. And thanks for coming on and sharing all your knowledge on the lithium space, the natural gas space, and the cesium space with our audience.
Thank you so much for having me, Jesse. I appreciate the interview.
Commodity Culture is a podcast that covers investing in commodities and natural resources. If you'd like to hear more, be sure to subscribe so you are always alerted of the latest episodes.